Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Karmis are always anxious to accumulate wealth for their sense gratification, but for that purpose they must work very hard. Yet even though they work hard, the results are not satisfying. Indeed, sometimes their work results only in frustration. But devotees who have dedicated their lives to the service of the Lord can achieve substantial results without working very hard. These results exceed the devotees' expectations. Purport, we can practically see how the devotees who have dedicated their lives for the service of the Lord in the Krishna consciousness movement are getting immense opportunities for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without working very hard. The Krishna consciousness movement actually started with only 40 rupees, but now it is more than 40 crores worth of property. And all this opulence has been achieved within 8 or 10 years. No karmi can expect to improve his business so swiftly, and besides that, whatever a karmi acquires is temporary and sometimes frustrating. In Krishna consciousness, however, everything is encouraging and improving. The Krishna consciousness movement is not very popular with the karmis because this movement recommends that one refrains from illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. These are restrictions that karmis very much dislike. Nonetheless, in the presence of so many enemies, this movement is progressing, going forward without impediments. If the devotees continue to spread this movement, dedicating life and soul to the lotus feet of Krishna, no one will be able to check it. This movement will go forward without limits. Chant Hare Krishna. Klesha buryapa sarani karmani vipalani cha dehinam vishayartanam natataiva arpitam tvai. Dehinam. Karmis are always anxious to accumulate wealth for their sense gratification, but for that purpose they must work very hard. Yet even though they work hard, the results are not satisfying. Indeed, sometimes their work results only in frustration. But devotees who dedicate their lives to the service of the Lord can achieve substantial results without working very hard. These results exceed the devotees' expectations. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatun Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivari Paskatya De Sadarne. So, karmi means one who works in the laws of karma. Or karma means that in this world there are laws. According to what we do, we get a result back. And the results depend upon what we do and how we do it. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that there are principally in this world three modes of nature. Namely, the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. And then the results are not exactly the same. For instance, Krishna says, Karmana sukritasya hu satvikam nimalam phalam Rajasas tu palam dukam, agyana tamasa palam. Satvam sanjayate gyanam, rajaso lova evacha, pramado moha tamaso, bhavato gyanam evacha. That if one works in the mode of goodness, the result should be knowledge, gyanam. And the result of knowledge is that one should become purified. If we think we know something and we're not becoming purified by working according to that knowledge, then at least according to Bhagavad Gita, it's not knowledge. But knowledge means that we're not this body. Knowledge begins with understanding that we're actually spiritual souls and that it's in our interest to realize our spiritual identity. Not that I'm a spiritual soul, big deal. What else is new? No, I'm a spiritual soul and that by nature I'm eternal. Now, in present society, people are trying to solve their problems. As Prahlad Maharaj says, Matir na Krishne paratak sitova mito bipadyeta griha vratana. That everyone is trying to figure out how to solve the problems of the material world. Sometimes they do it individually. Sometimes they do it collectively, the United Nations, the League of Nations, and sometimes they do it by a combination of both. But it doesn't seem like they ever solve the real problems. Especially the real problems are unsolved. Matter of fact, they won't even mention the real problems. The real problem, the most significant problem, is that we're going to die. That one, you're not even supposed to talk about those things. That's impolite. That's being pessimistic, to think that we're all going to die. That we should become more optimistic, that the scientists, they're working hard, although they're dying too. But we should give them, you know, they've done so many wonderful things. They've created computers, they've created airplanes, they've created so many, well, why can't they stop death? Of course, we should give them something easier to do. Why don't they stop for one moment our growing older? Just for one split second, let them stop us from changing our body. But that they can't even figure out how to do for themselves. The only time they've ever done that is in one movie called Frankenstein. That was the last time they did it. Somehow or another, they brought him back from the dead. And they found out the result wasn't very good anyhow. They probably wound up killing him anyhow. But actually, we can't stop growing old. We can't stop disease. Everyone, at every second, no matter what position we're in, we're suffering from different types of lack of ease. Either due to this body, just like everyone can feel their body now and feel uncomfortable it is. For some reason or another, everyone feels, just so those who are against the wall, we can guess their back hurts them. For those who are on the side, probably their back hurts them too. Other people may feel something, they ate something yesterday in a feast, and they're trying to praying to Vaishnavara, Chetta Agni, to please digest it. So many lack of ease in the body, and then there is so many people, like Devaki Nanda, someone broke into his car today. No one asked them to break into the car, but they did anyhow. It wasn't part of our sadhana. And the weather. Here, everyone's expecting it to be too hot, now it's too cold. And when it gets too hot, then people will think about the good old days when it was cool. And besides that, everyone has to grow old, become diseased, and then we die. And although people may deny it, we have to take birth again. Just like we're going through so many changes, even in this body, so we'll change again. And we can see most people who didn't learn the science of Krishna consciousness, they didn't come back in a human form of life. That's why we have so many insects, we have so many cockroaches, big and small ones around here. We have so many trees and plants and other species of life other than human beings. And they were all convinced that there was no such thing as reincarnation. But they were wrong. So if you think we have problems, well, just examine the life of a cockroach and try and figure out how many problems they have. Therefore, the idea is that working hard in the material world and simply getting some result is not the purpose of life. The real result, everyone's looking for, is happiness. And we're thinking, if we simply write down all our problems and then solve them one after another, that will result in happiness. Just like mind psychology or psychiatry, that you sit down for days and weeks and you enumerate all your problems. And the psychiatrist writes them down. And after a while, just reading all your problems, he has problems. Or she has problems. Just reading all the problems that everyone has. It's very depressing. And therefore, the number one suicide rate in America is the psychiatrist. drug takers and especially doctors and so, you know, take most of, they're addicted more than anyone else because they have access to the drugs and the depressing, hearing about everyone's problems. So everyone's trying, they're thinking happiness will be to solve material problems, but the real problems of life no one can solve because no one can even stop for one moment the fact that we have to grow older. And that's just a sign of the fact that eventually we have to leave our body, and the other problem is we have to take another one. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Griha Vratana. Griha means house, just like we're now in this house. But the house that we're really in is, first of all, is this body. So the material concept of life is that if our body's strong and healthy, if we have a nice house to live in with a nice family, if we have a nice society where everyone waters their lawn and cuts it, that's about all you know about your neighbors nowadays. See if they water their lawn and they cut it. They're a nice person if they did, and if they didn't, they're not such a nice person. So this is a very limited conception that if I make my body strong and healthy, if I have a nice house to live in, if my wife and myself were still on speaking terms with each other, if the children haven't been arrested for drugs or something, we're doing quite well. We're living in a nice, happy family. And the whole society, community, human beings, whatever it is, we're thinking that if we take our make a list and check it all off, everything's all right, then we'll be happy. Because no one is able to check all the list off. No one is really happy because the more you get in the material world, the more you're surrounded by things that you think will make you happy, the more anxiety you're in, the fact that you're wondering when you're going to lose them. If you have one car, you think, this is my car. As I've said before, that's called ahamkar. It's the beginning of all false ego in modern society. I am the car. But actually, we're not the car. We're actually a spiritual soul, and as soon as we get a car, then we have to become, we don't, it's not our car, especially in modern society. People don't own cars. The bank owns cars. We have a loan, and you have to pay off the loan. And even if you paid off the loan, then you have to serve the car. You have to take, you have to fill it up, you have to feed it every day with gasoline and oil, check the oil, clean the car. You have to do so many things in order to maintain the car. So whose car is it? Actually, are we the master of the car, or are we serving the car? And after all the service that one does for the car, some, we're always afraid that someone's going to crash into it and dent it. And then there'll be so many more problems. We already have problems with one car. And then if you get more money, you get two cars and you have twice as many problems. So we think that if we accumulate more things in the material world, then they'll solve our problems, but actually this increases our problems. We get more and more afraid of losing what we have, and we have to work harder and harder to maintain whatever we have. And the ultimate bottom line is that whatever we do have, we have to lose, so our anxieties are always fulfilled, that ultimately everything is lost. So Prahlad Maharaj says this is called Griha Vratana. People have made a vow, let's remain in the material world and solve the problems here and everyone will become happy. Because in modern society, people, that's the mode of passion. Now they've come into the mode of ignorance. Yes, our problems are everyone else. So the way of solving problems is wipe out everyone else and only my friends will remain. And then we'll have a nice, happy world because there'll be no more problems. So this is some country, someone crashes a plane into one of our buildings. So the solution is take all our airplanes over there and wipe out the country. And then everything will be nice and peaceful again. No more problems. Unfortunately, things don't usually work out like that. And whatever we do to solve our problems, Prahlad Maharaj said, usually winds up in even more problems. And why are we trying to solve problems? Because the basic faith is anda yatandir anda Matirna Krishna Parataksato Vamito Bipadyeta Griha Vratana Adantagobir Vishatam Tamizram. Adantagobir means that we actually think that if I try to serve my senses, their demands, then I'll become peaceful and happy. But it doesn't work like that. In other words, there may be some happiness in serving the senses, but it's only temporary. And it's not like the anxiety, the pushings, the whatever else comes along with it goes away. It increases. Just like if one tries to put out a fire by supplying gasoline to the fire, it may go out for a second, but then it flames up again, even stronger. So trying to gratify the senses in the material world is a sense gratification means that it's simply increasing our anxiety, our problems, our fear, everything else that goes along with it. Therefore, Krishna says, Yehi samsparsha bhoga dukha yoni evate adyanta vanta kontiya nate shu ramate buddha. That an intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery, but due to contact with the senses, with their objects, O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise person doesn't delight in them. And here it says, the words are klesha, misery. In other words, this verse is emphasizing, which will, to some degree, people find quite discouraging, that our philosophy seems to be so negative. It's talking about how miserable the material world is. So for those who are very much anxious to enjoy the material world, who have some hope that there is a possibility of finding some peace and happiness in the material world, it's a very discouraging philosophy. Therefore, on the other side, it says here, if we take shelter of Krishna, then instead of the results, alpa, sarani, clay, shaburi, very much hardship, very much misery, and the alpa, sarani, very little result, and vipalani means one doesn't frustration, actually vipalani means no result or an opposite result of what you're looking for. People are trying to become happy by working hard and they wind up more miserable. So what is the other side? The other side is we're just working in the wrong place. That's all. In other words, we're actually meant for happiness. That's all our endeavors are supposed to bring us. Because that's our nature, is to be happy. But we're just trying to put our bank account in the wrong place. Just like that old story of one person, he was putting his money, whatever he earned, he put into his savings account because he wanted to have a nice, happy retirement. So he kept on putting the money into the account. Unfortunately, at the end of his life, when he went to withdraw the money, he found out he was putting it in the wrong account. Therefore, he wound up with nothing at the end. Similarly, if we keep on working in the material world to become happy, we'll wind up frustrated because that's the nature of the material world. Whether one is rich or poor, ultimately one winds up with nothing at the end. On the other hand, if we actually realize our spiritual nature, that's why the first point is to emphasize that we're not the body, we're actually a spiritual being. That the body is changing, but the self within the body is always the same. Therefore, whatever body we get, we'll never satisfy ourselves because the old fish out of water. If the fish is out of water, it doesn't matter how big a house the fish is living in, how much money the fish has in his bank account, you know, how beautiful is his wife. But because he's out of water, he'll never be satisfied. Similarly, whatever position one finds oneself in the material world, there's always something lacking. Therefore, one can't be satisfied because we're spirit, and now we're in a temporary world. Spirit is eternal. Spirit is by nature blissful. Spirit is by nature loving. Spirit is by nature conscious. And now we're in a world where everything that we want is limited. And no matter how much present society promises an unlimited life of happiness, it doesn't deliver it to anyone. Even to the people who have billions and trillions of dollars, they have to die. They're in anxiety. They can't get everything that they want. So this is the nature of the material world. But if one can learn the science of Krishna consciousness, as Krishna says here, Anyas chintayanto mam ye jana paripasate tesham nityabhyuktanam yoga shemam vaham yaham. To those who are constantly engaged in my service, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. In other words, there is a God. He's controlling the universe, just like he's controlling us. He's in our heart. He's giving us remembrance. He's giving us knowledge. He's giving us forgetfulness. He's moving the planets in their orbits. The sun's coming up at its appointed time. The sun sets at its appointed time. The only real problem we have in the material world is that person is the person we're trying to forget about. And the more we try to forget about him, the less aware of him we become, then the more we become misidentified with this body, with this temporary world, and with all the problems that are part of the material world. For ourselves, as souls, there is no problem. We have absolutely no problem because we're not part of the material world. But because we identify ourselves with this drama that's going on in the material world, therefore we think we have so many problems. So that's the only problem we have, is that we think we have so many problems. And once we wake up to the fact that we're a spiritual being, that we're eternal, then there's no more problems. And the only way to fully wake up to what our real identity is, become aware of the Supreme Spiritual Being. Because we're put into forgetfulness of our own identity only due to our, what's called, Viparyosmriti. Vayam dviti abhinivesitasya ishadapatasya Viparyosmriti. Because our relationship with Krishna, with the original Supreme Person, is wrong. It's out of, they say, whack. It's just in the wrong, we have the wrong relationship. Therefore, our relationship with everything else is distorted, is out of sync. And no matter how much we try to align ourselves and make harmony between ourselves, as long as our relationship with that Supreme Person is not quite correct, as long as we become a competitor, as long as we're envious of Krishna, then we'll be a competitor to others and envious of others. We may temporarily make arrangements that appear as that we're friends with each other and that we're, you know, allies. But just look at the world. One country, one moment, is an ally. The next moment, when it suits their fancy, suddenly they become the biggest enemies. And then the next moment, they're friends again. That just depends upon what their self-interest is. It has nothing to do generally with what is any kind of absolute morality. It's just self-interest. If I can, me and my friends, we can exploit the third party, then they're my friends. And as soon as we exploit the third party, we try and figure out how to divide up whatever they had that we're taking. Then we become enemies when we're trying to divide it up. Or as Prabhupada gave the story, that a group of thieves, they robbed a bank, they went to their hideout, and the head thief stood up in front of all the other fellow thieves and made a request to all the fellow thieves. My dear fellow thieves, now that we've stolen all this money, I only have one request to all of you. Please, let us divide the money up honestly. So they're all thieves, their whole mentality is stealing, but they want to be honest thieves. So similarly, as long as in the material world, we want to utilize God's property for our enjoyment and deny his existence, then of course his energy called Maya is going to cover us. And Maya will just engage us in the three modes of nature. And the result of engaging, identified with this body and this whole drama, is the same thing. Work hard, as it says here, klesha buri. A lot of problems. And alpa sarani, very literal solutions to the problems, actually. And vipalani, getting something that we didn't want. just like it was just Christmas, and I'm sure a lot of people, they didn't get what they wanted. So it's frustrating. I remember when I was little, my sister, I woke up one Christmas expecting something, and I found out, I looked at my toys, I had hardly anything, and my sister had just all these toys. So I couldn't figure it out. She was 3 years older than I was. I was just like 4 or 5. So I couldn't figure out what happened. And then later on I found out she stole all my toys. So that's called vipalani. Getting a result you didn't expect. I was quite frustrated. My sister was sitting there enjoying, and I was just frustrated. She was smiling and thanking me for the donations that I didn't know I made. So that's the material world. Vipalani. And Dehinam Vyaras Vishayarta Na Tataiva Arpa. So here it says, dedicate, arpitam. So there's also in the Bhagavatam, Naishkarmyam Apyachuta Bhava Varaditam Niranjanam Nishobhyate Gyanam Alam Niranjanam Kutak punakshasvara badram ishvare nacharpitum karma yadap yakaranam. So the same word, arpitam, dedicated. That knowledge of self-realization, although devoid of all different designations, does not look very well if devoid of the conception of the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, even we can realize through strenuous austerities that practically no one's going to execute in this age, we can realize that we're not the body. But it doesn't look very well if it's devoid of Krishna consciousness. And even what to speak of ordinary work in the material world, which is naturally painful from the very beginning, if it's not dedicated to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these conceptions are quite far removed. But there's a philosophy. It's not that, you know, we're simply sitting here ranting and raving, you know, some cult sitting here ranting and raving about surrender to God, or else you're going to burn in the inferno, and, you know, you're not that body, you know, blood, flesh, stool, everything. We're not simply ranting and raving. The fact is, we're not the body. That anyone in any situation with just a little thoughtfulness can see, that's right, my body's changing, I've had so many bodies, I'll get so many bodies in the future, but I'm the same little soul there going, beep, beep, where's the happiness? How am I going to make myself happy? Now our conception of how we think we're going to become happy hopefully is different than when we were 5 years old. And maybe it'll be different when we're, you know, 10 years from now, we're still in the same body. Or maybe we'll be 10 years from now, we'll be 5 years old, and we'll have that 5-year-old conception again. But in any case, we're the same little soul looking for happiness somehow or another, and not being able to find it in most of the places we're looking in the material world. Matter of fact, any place we look. So we're the soul looking for the same thing in all the different species of life, and there's the Supreme Soul. It's not something we made up. There is a controller in the material world. And if you can control the planets in their orbits, if you can control, move this big Earth planet in its orbit, the scientists say it's moving. Does anyone feel any bumps on the Earth road that the Earth is moving on? It's not like the Earth is moving along and suddenly, everyone hit a bump, you know, call up, you know, the Supreme Ishvara, call up God, tell him that there's a bump on the road, send the repairman. Now this huge Earth planet is supposedly moving into this enormous orbit, and we don't even feel even the slightest inconvenience. Let one engineer build a road, the best road, with the best car, and see if you can make it as smooth as this Earth is moving. So who did it? It's all by accident, they said. So if it's all by accident, you have so much intelligence to figure out that it's all an accident, then with that same intelligence, why can't you duplicate what you call as an accident? If you figure it out as an accident, you must figure out how the accident came about. So why don't you duplicate it, and then we'll believe it was an accident? But you don't have enough brains to duplicate it. So how can we actually believe that you actually figured out how it came about? And even an ordinary accident that happens on the street, two cars, they smash into each other, the police come, usually 3 hours later, and they come and they say, what happened? They go, well, it was an accident. They go, oh, it was an accident. Well, I guess no one's responsible then. And then they leave. No sense writing report because it was just an accident. Now, even an accident has a cause. Nothing happens by accident, the way that we're led to believe, just by chance. Everything has a cause behind it. Otherwise, if everything came about by accident, as was mentioned, then why don't the scientists who believe in that, why don't they just sit at home and just wait, and by accident they'll get a big degree from a school? If they really believe it, why don't they just sit at home and, you know, pray for an accident, and maybe by accident they'll all become rich? Why do they work so hard? Why do they build all these, you know, make all these, write these books about the accident for so many years, and then they hope that people will accept it? If it's all just by accident, why are they working so hard? Why by accident it came about, and by the same accident still not coming about? Why aren't more and more universes just popping into existence by accident? Why did only the accident only happen once? Anyhow, it's not a very logical, consistent philosophy. But when you point out what is logical and consistent, that if a car is moving down the street, it stops at the stoplight, you don't say, wow, look at that accident. By accident, it stopped at the stoplight. Look, it turned green. By accident, it's moving again. What a wonderful accident. No, you assume someone's driving the car if it works like that. So, if the planets are moving in their orbits, how can you say it's all just an accident? Then there must be someone who's arranged it. Now, this requires a little thought. Unfortunately, people don't have the time for the thought. They're too busy working to become happy in the material world, and winding up frustrated and miserable to hear such a philosophy as this. They actually believe if we can, you know, fill our house up with so many different things that ultimately came from the accident, all expansions of the accident, then we'll all accidentally become happy. But here it says that if we do like that, we'll only get frustrated. But if we take shelter of the person behind the cosmic creation, if we actually become conscious of Krishna, then we'll automatically become conscious of our own selves. And as Krishna is all blissful or loving, then we'll also develop our own blissful, loving tendencies. We'll also develop our own dormant consciousness as our misconceptions become purified. And the result is, when we leave things to Krishna, then everything will be taken care of very nicely. Or as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that the real problem in the material world is because everything, people think there is an accident, that God has made a creation. So if something's already perfect and someone comes in and tries to correct it, just like you may have a computer and some, you know, your 5-year-old child says, well, it doesn't look right, I don't like it. And it's going to make an improvement. Takes some paint, throws it all over the computer, makes it multicolored. You know, washes the computer, gets some, you know, cup of water and washes your computer. And you go, wow, it doesn't seem to quite work like it did before, but we'll try a little harder, you know. Takes a screwdriver, hits it into the computer a few times. And you say, wait a second, you know, you don't know how the thing works, you know, you should just leave it alone. You're making it worse. No, I'm trying to help, you know. Similarly, God has created a perfect creation, and the more we try and interfere with God's creation, the more everything becomes disturbed. We don't believe that the water, the sunlight, the air is coming about by some arrangement. Therefore, we don't care. We just think it's by accident that the weather is like this today, tomorrow will be like this. It's by accident. And then sometimes they figure out that they have something to do with the accident. That by all the airplanes flying in the sky, they emit some kind of gas and that it creates holes in the ozone. And because of the holes in the ozone, therefore, the ultraviolet light comes through, burns everyone. You get skin cancer and sunburn and all kinds of things. They figure out that actually we have something to do with what's going on. But other things, because they can't see it, they say they think it doesn't exist. So this knowledge is actually meant to show us what's actually going on and what we have to do with it. Why is that we're in this body now? Why is it that we're an illusion? It's not by accident. And it won't be by accident if we get out of it. If we actually want to wake up, go back to the spiritual world, come back to our spiritual consciousness, it won't be by accident. One has to develop knowledge. And that knowledge is said here, arpita. One has to recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead and do one's activities as an offering to Him. Or else we'll simply, punak punas charvita charvananam, simply wind up doing the same thing over and over again and become frustrated, work hard, become more miserable, not get what we want, and that's the results. No matter how much it's advertised in the newspaper and the radio, no matter how much the internet expands into everyone's, you know, bedroom or bathroom or whatever else they expand into, you know, still it won't solve our problems. The same solution is there for everyone, for all time, and if we take to the solution, we can experience what the results are. That here it says we get results more than we can expect, and if we don't, we can understand from our past we can simply do the same thing over and over again. So, thank you very much. Any questions? Yes.
You're saying that the scientists are not always so intelligent with the use that they put the information to. But if everything can be used in Krishna's service, then surely the knowledge that that the scientists uncover and make known to people also be used to explain the universe in a Krishna conscious fashion.
Yeah, of course. Most of it. So we don't decry the knowledge of the scientists. We just say it's not as much as they say it is. They're claiming they know everything, and they just know a little bit.
Because most of the scientists that I've read that know or seem to know anything are very clear that they know very little.
Yeah, those are real.
They know a little bit of this whole creation. And I've heard over the years so much...
I don't know the ones that you've seen. The ones that we haven't seen are more or less directing the whole society. If you go, I'm sure in Perth here they must have some museum all full of dinosaurs and all kinds of other things, all claiming that we've all evolved from the apes, that this is a science. The scientists have concluded this. But number one, it's not science, it's science fiction. Number two is that they're spending billions of dollars, the government or whoever else is giving these scientists billions of dollars to propagate this false idea that man has evolved from apes and that the cause of the creation was a Big Bang or something. And I think you can read that at least 40-50% of all the scientists in the world, most of their endeavor goes to making weapons. So there may be some scientists who have some God consciousness, but most of the scientists, they're just being hired. I mean, I went to college also, so I also studied science there. And after 4 years at the university, you learn that the only way you can go through the university and get a degree is that you have to believe, or at least be able to reproduce on a test, all the philosophy, and all the philosophy is completely atheistic, especially the science I learned. It was 100% pure, unalloyed, atheistic philosophy. There wasn't a tinge of God consciousness in there. They were all pure atheists, if there's such a thing. So that's where most of the scientists is. There may be a few scientists here and there, and maybe, you know, you add them up around the world, it seems like a lot. but the vast majority of the scientists, willingly or unwillingly, they all have to either directly or indirectly, you know, work for a atheistic philosophy. Evolution, creation is the idea of a Big Bang theory, and ultimately just materialism. You know, most, the scientists who aren't creating weapons, the other ones are creating things, toys that people can become, you know, play around with in the material world. Whether they're big toys or little toys, you know, little toys for little kids and big toys for the big kids. But they're just creating toys so that we can all play around here. But, you know, how many scientists are actually working to prove, you know, the difference between the body and the soul, or, you know, the existence of God? I mean, there's not much of a scope for most scientists. There are a few, but there's not that many.
It would seem that the more that they discover about the workings of the universe, and even evolution, brings people to the understanding that none of this, as you were saying, could be an accident. So that even if evolution were true, then it points to some intelligence behind it, because no one...
You've read too many of our books. They don't read these books. You just meet the you meet the scientists on the street. I mean, they can't. I mean, I met quite a number of them distributing books. They can't understand anything. Nor do they want to understand. Nor will they stop. You know, to show them the body, and show them that the body's changing. They won't even get that far. They go, "My body's not changing. It's the same body." These are the supposedly great, advanced, intelligent people. I mean, when I was in college, I was a devotee. So all my professors that were friends of mine, after I became a devotee, they weren't friends anymore. They said, "What happened? You know, how come your hair fell out?" You know, they stopped being my friends. So I don't know if there's... They don't read our books, nor do they want to read our books, most of them. And even if they did read our books, I'm sure, unless they took up the process of Krishna consciousness, they wouldn't be able to understand it. Although there are a number of scientists, you know, especially amongst the Christians and, you know, some religious bases, who actually have some idea that, you know, God had created everything. Exactly how they did it, how he did it, they don't know. And other people, you know, they have some conception, you know, that there is such a thing as karma or reincarnation, but they don't work in that field. You know, that's just some, you know, side, that was their belief, but the work as a scientist is not in that field. Unless, you know, they're part of a Christian fundamentalist organization or something. But mostly they're working, you know, for communications or for the internet or for, you know, NASA or for, you know, some ammunition factory, or trying to invent a bigger bomb to kill everyone quicker. I mean, if you look at the advancement of, you know, what the biggest advances are, you know, most of them are not, you know, very useful from the point of view of God consciousness. They can be used, the creations, but, you know, how, you know, most of us, we can't, like America has this bomb or something, which is like the atomic bomb, just puts this little mist up in the air, and then they light a match, and the whole thing just blows up. So, I mean, how do you utilize that in God consciousness is hard to figure it out. But the thing costs like millions of dollars, this one bomb. You know, but they're, you know, this is how they spend a lot of time, a lot of energy figuring it out. But what's the value? It's probably said everyone's going to die anyhow, so they spent millions of dollars to kill people quicker. And they're glorifying how advanced they are. But if they can invent a bomb, they explode it, everyone lives forever, then we'll appreciate it. So that's these books. These are compared to bombs. Probably compared to them, bombs and bullets. So when people read this, and their material conceptions will be exploded, and then when all the dust settles, they'll look around and see what's actually going on. Even I was in New York. And all after these planes crashed into the building, so there's all this dust everywhere. And after they cleared it away for a few minutes, people were shocked for a few days. But then after a month, everyone went back to the same activities. you know, we're still the best, it's not going to happen again. We can't enjoy here, it was just, you know, a dream. So, as one thing you can learn from history, I heard, is that people don't learn from history. But they can learn by hearing transcendental knowledge from persons who have some realization. And the scientists, they can find out something. I'm sure there are scientists, after they look at, as Sataputta points out, they look into trillions and trillions of cells in the body, and they see each cell is just like more complicated than New York City. So then they see that, they can figure out, well, this must be quite, you know, whoever. And it's an amazing thing. It must be some creator behind it. It's so amazing. And others, they just forget about it. It can't be. It can't be. There can't be a God. It's, you know, and they try to figure out some other explanation for it. But you don't read in the newspaper, you know, a scientist looks at the cell and figures that, wow, this is so amazing. That there must be a God.
Actually wrote a whole book about it.
What's that?
Some scientists
did, but it's not, probably wasn't it, you know.
About 100 of them who actually shared how they came to understand that there must be some God simply by the wonder of creation.
Yeah, there is some God consciousness in the society. It's not that it's completely devoid of God consciousness, and some of those are the scientists. But the direction the society is taking is not towards God consciousness in general. I mean, people are more God conscious 50 years ago than they are now. And what to speak of 100 years ago or whatever. So the direction that society is taking is more and more materialistic. Although not everyone is following that direction. Not everyone is so enthusiastic in that direction. Therefore, there's always divine people and there's always people who are demoniac everywhere. So these books or other books also, I mean the Christian religion or even the Mohammedan religion, you know, they do create a sense of God consciousness within people. They do have knowledge. And that knowledge is, you know, still within society. But there's a big attempt on the part of the people who are atheistic to eliminate it as much as possible.
But that's always been happening, hasn't it? Because you read it in the Bible,
the time
this was happening way back when.
Yeah, it'll long after we're back in the spiritual world, it'll keep on happening. That's the nature of the material world. It's always happening like that. Just the question of which side we want to be on. Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.